Sean Alexander has joined us here on Sports Byline. We were talking about his high school career, but he made the choice to go to the University of Alabama. And you narrowed it down, I understand, Sean, to Michigan, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Tell me how you ultimately made the decision to go south to Alabama.
You know, I was blessed to be able to have that opportunity, you know, and ESPN ranked me the number one high school recruit. So that was really sweet. I didn't really even know what that really meant until I got to the pros. But it was really fun going to these schools, and I became friends with Mr. Ohio. I was Mr. Kentucky. I became friends with Mr. Ohio, which was Charles Woodson, and Mr. West Virginia was Randy Moss, and I got to hang out with some of the great high school All-Americans, Fernando Bryan, who ends up going to Alabama, and Reggie Grimes, who became my roommate and went to Alabama with me. At the end of the day, my older brother, Duran, was at Notre Dame, and Lou Holtz was there, and I loved him the most. But I just didn't vibe with the running back coach there. And literally, if he would have been different or if he would have had a different respond with me, I probably would have went to Notre Dame. Michigan, that was my high school, my home school, as a child, that was my favorite college, and Desmond Howard was my favorite college football player, and I'm still friends with him today. But I literally drove up to Michigan thinking I was going to sign and would be with Charles Woodson and Tom Brady. But it snowed 3 feet of snow on that driveway, and I said, that must be God. And so I end up the next week I'm down in Alabama, and I'm fishing with a bunch of great friends, and we're just down there, and I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why would I even try to wrestle with this snow that, you know, I could just see my parents now trying to drive up there for Michigan, Ohio State, when I could be down here loving this time and being in the South. And besides that, Alabama, they're Gene Stallings, amazing coach, was there. Ivy Williams, a great running back coach. He coached some of the greats already. You know, the winning tradition, the national championship that they won in 92, all those All-Americans, a great faith, Fellowship of Christian Athletes was a strong thing there, and true discipling of how to walk out in your faith. All these things helped me go to Alabama, and it was probably one of the greatest decisions I ever made.
Tell me about the first time you ever met Gene Stallings.
Well, gosh, you know, when I think he came to the house first, and, you know, you just saw this guy who carried himself the way I like it. I think if you're the man, I want you to walk like you're the man. I don't like when people play like they're not who they are. I like people to be humble, but not ignoring who they are. And he walked in and was like, well, Sean, I think you'd be great at our university, and I think you're the kind of person that I want to be around. And that meant something to me. And he carries himself like he's larger than life, and he still does today. And I talk with him as often as I can, and we were just together before the season started. He's just a great man, and I love the way he was with his daughters, and he tells stories about how all of his daughters, how they picked great husbands. And so he cared about family. He was just that man, that grandfather that I wanted to learn from.
Was it hard for you when they made the change at Alabama and Mike DeBose then came in?
It was because I loved Coach Stallman so much. But at the same time, I understand people have to make decisions. And, you know, I know Coach Stallman didn't want to leave, but he graciously did what he thought was best for the university with the new AD and all of that. And so he didn't make it a big deal. He just kind of looked everybody in the eye and said, I expect you to be great and leave this thing the way that you're supposed to leave this thing.
You had an opportunity after your junior year. You had to make a decision. Do I stay in college or do I go to the NFL? What was the determining factor of staying?
You know, most people thought I was going to leave, and I could. I mean, Ricky Waters and Edgerrin James, they were probably the best two seniors in college, or the best two guys that they were going to pick, and they said I would have been third. I wanted to be number one, so that was a good. The competition side of me was still there, but greater than that was I really loved Alabama. I loved my time there, and I knew that I was 1,000 yards or so away from being their all-time leading rusher. I think it was 1,400 yards, and I just thought I had a shot at it. And I thought, you know what, I wanted to leave this place with a national championship, with an SEC championship, with the rushing title and the scoring title from Alabama. And then my left tackle was Chris Samuels. He was an All-American, and he was in my class too. And he just called back and was like, hey, we can do all of this. Sean, we can get it all. And that's all I needed to hear was I just needed one brother to say, let's go do it. And I came back, and I didn't look back. And I was very thankful for that. I know I started off probably one of the greatest starts to college football history. It was great.
Certainly, rivalries in college football are something special across the country, but I think one of the best all time is the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. Now, you lived it. Can you help me a little bit understand what makes that rivalry so special?
You know, I can. You know, I would say this. The passion of the fans goes deeper than even just the passion of the students and the alumni. You know, you hear stories of people that didn't even go to the school, that love the school so much that they cry when Bama loses. I mean, Auburn, they're probably running out of tears right now, but the Bama fans would cry whenever they lose that Iron Bowl. And I remember my sophomore year, a lady, 81 years old, I'm 81 years old, and I'll die a happy woman if y'all beat Auburn. I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? I'm 18, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's the passion. You see the guy with the collar, the pastor with the collar, that he punches the guy out and the fans, and they're fighting in the crowd. You're like, wait a minute, that looks like a father, a pastor. The passion is so real. You got the guy that poisoned the tree. You know, you're like, who would poison a tree over a game? But that passion is so real. We can't help but honor everybody that loves that game by giving the best we got.
I was just going to say, is there one game that you remember more than the others in that rivalry?
Oh, well, without a doubt. I'll never forget my senior year. Alabama had never beat Auburn in Auburn. Matter of fact, they had stopped the game for 40 years because it was always ending in big fights. And so they stopped the game for 40 years. They brought it back, and the game was always played in Birmingham, and they decided to move it back to just back into your college. They figured that the Auburn-Alabama game would kind of be civil, and so they put it back there, Tuscaloosa and Auburn. And Auburn had won every time until my senior year, and we went in there, and that game was so close. And I know some players that played at Auburn, they did not want to be a part of that team that lost the first game, and they were beating us. I think it was like 17-7. And in that fourth quarter, Alabama did what Alabama's known for. I had 100 yards and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone for the first time we ever beat Auburn in Auburn. And that's Alabama football. We win that game 28-17, and we just stopped their run, and we just manhandled them on the ground for the last 15 minutes of that game, and it felt like an hour of just giving them uppercuts, and it was sweet and it was beautiful. But I'll never forget, after the game was over, I ran over to the sign, and it had this written in crimson and white, and it said, "Their tradition ends," and that's how I walked off that field holding that banner.
Tell me about draft day for you.
Oh, yeah, the draft was special. You know, no one knew what team I was going to go to. The Ravens had the 4th pick. I think the Bengals had the 5th pick. Arizona Cardinals had the 7th. Everybody figured I'd go in the top 7. I wanted to go to the New York Giants, and they were the 10th pick, and all those teams needed running backs or were willing to trade Cincinnati, of course, being my hometown. The Ravens picked Jamal Lewis, good friend of mine, great running back, had a great career with Baltimore. The Bengals, they couldn't trade. Couldn't trade Corey Dillon away, and so they picked a great player, Peter Warwick, who was a receiver from Florida State. Arizona Cardinals picked 7th. They picked Thomas Jones, and that was surprising, but it literally laid the door wide open for me to go 10th to the New York Giants, where I wanted to go. And I tell you, I remember it clear as day. The 9th pick went in, and they said, "Oh, the 9th pick is this guy." And they said, "Oh, the 10th pick's already in." I looked over my agent and said, "Is it normal for them not to call before they pick?" And they said, "The New York Giants pick Ron Dane." And I remember being like, "What? What in the world just happened?" And years later, after I retired from Seattle, I ran into this scout. He said, "You know, Sean, to this day I'll never forget, I literally thought your offensive line was amazing, and that's how you was doing it." And I had Chris Samuels, the All-American. He was a senior. But then I had juniors all in the middle and a freshman right tackle. And he said, "I was coming back that next year. You're a rookie now in the pros, and you're playing behind Ricky Waters." And I'm thinking, okay, so I didn't really get to see you. So I'm thinking I'm doing right. Ron had a good rookie year. And he says, I went back to go pick up those juniors, which were now seniors, the guard, center guard. And I looked at him and I thought, they're not really pro players. They're good college players, but they're not pro ready. And he thought, oh, my gosh, what did I do? And he said that next year is when I became the face of the Seahawks. And the next 5 years, I became the first guy to have over 1,100 yards and 15 touchdowns 5 years in a row. And he said, "I knew it." He goes, I knew something was wrong when I saw your line. And so I missed my opportunity with New York. But the greatest thing happened at 19th pick. The Seattle Seahawks picked me in. And within a month of being a Seahawk, I had had accomplished some great dreams, got to buy my mom a new house, got to meet the woman of my dreams, which became my wife, and got to become a millionaire. All these things that young black kids from Florence, Kentucky try to dream of all happened within a month, and it was beautiful.
We have Sean Alexander with us. We're going to talk about his time up in Seattle, about going to the Super Bowl up there, Mike Holmgren as well, and about what he's doing today, because he has a very interesting project that I find very insightful, and I think it's something that a lot of young people probably needs to hear about, and we'll do that. Also, we'll talk about that very special season, the 2005 season, when he was the NFL's MVP. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.